640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Now that fighting has resumed between Israel and Hamas, Palestinian civilians find themselves caught in the middle. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Tel Aviv.
Heeding calls from Israel to evacuate, Palestinians flee Khan Yunis in the south. Others clamor and sift through the rubble. The entire building collapsed, says Abdul Karim Hamdan. Here, we have paralyzed women and frightened infants. Are they the target for Israel?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, through an interpreter, says Israel must eradicate Hamas.
We will continue the war until we reach all its goals. These goals cannot be achieved without the ground operation. The ground operation has been essential in bringing the results so far, and it will be essential in bringing the results later.
In Queens, New York, a man has killed four of his family members before he was shot to death by police.
Police were first called for a stabbing and found multiple victims. Two officers were also slashed while responding. To add to the chaos, the home they responded to was on fire.
WCBS-TV's Christina Fan. Police have arrested a suspect in the killing of three homeless people in Los Angeles. Sheriff Robert Luna says Jared Joseph Powell's vehicle was pinpointed at each of the murder scenes through his license plate.
We did not enter that plate into the system. This individual that we believe is responsible for at least four murders may have been out there and reoffended.
In Paris, a suspect has been arrested following a knife attack that killed a German tourist near the Eiffel Tower. Reporter David Hazan is there.
The interior minister said he was arrested in 2016 and sentenced to 4 years in prison for planning a terror attack. The interior minister said the alleged attacker was being treated for what the minister described as severe psychiatric problems.
The director of the World Health Organization says it's high time for health to be the top focus when it comes to climate change.
The threats to health resulting from climate change are immediate and present. However, for too long, health has been a footnote climate discussion. No more.
Tedros Ghebreyesus spoke at the COP28 climate summit taking place in Dubai. An early December snowstorm is bearing down on New England. Bob Orovic is at the National Weather Service.
The Pacific Northwest is in a pretty stormy pattern. There's a series of storms that are going to be affecting them over the next several days. A lot of heavy rain expected. The snow levels are rising.
As much of a foot of snow expected. This is CBS News.
The holiday season is right around the corner. Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Give them a steal. Visit your local steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/gift guide.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Dan.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Friday was World AIDS Day. A woman whose son became the public face of the disease is reminding people to never forget the victims lost and the effort to find a cure. Here's Joe Ullery.
More than 40 million people have died from AIDS, including Ryan White, who grew up at a time when not much was known about it and medicine offered few treatments. Ryan contracted the disease during a blood transfusion at age 13. He became a staunch advocate against discrimination and helped change how Americans view AIDS. Jeannie Whitegender says it's imperative to remember all the lost lives.
That is so important that we remember all the people who got us to where we are today, because they are no longer here. And I'm not just talking about Ryan, because Ryan was a face, but there are so many people that did all the work.
Just 5 weeks after Ryan's death in 1990, Congress overwhelmingly passed the Ryan White Care Act with bipartisan support. The legislation helps more people get tested for HIV and offers assistance to patients in all stages of the disease. Ryan's mom says AIDS affects people across the spectrum, regardless of labels.
A gay person has it. A straight person has it. A blood transfusion person has it. It was for everybody. Once you have AIDS, you're just like everybody. anybody else who has AIDS, you're fighting to stay alive. And people fought to stay alive, and people dedicated their lives to get us to where we are today.
She says Ryan would have turned 52 next week. His mom plans to travel to Indiana University on his birthday, where the Rural Center for AIDS STD Prevention will present the Ryan White Distinguished Leadership Award to Dr. Joe and Sarah Ellen Mamlin. I'm Joe Ullery. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Dow.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 37, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy again tonight, 27. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
WAUK across the great state of Wisconsin on your Civic Media stations. And we, Danielle, that was pretty awesome. We got to be on the Maggie Dawn show for toward the end there and start talking about some of the outdoor stuff. And Maggie Dawn has been kind enough and gracious enough to join us for the first segment of this show. Very exciting. Are you there, Maggie?
She's not on yet. I'm going to get her in just a second.
We'll have her in just a minute. I have to tell you, what a crazy week it's been. Did you get out in the woods for the gun deer season?
I did get out in the woods, but...
Yeah, I did. Oh, hello. There I am. I was could not
hear
talking. Myself.
They could hear you. You just couldn't hear yourself.
I was like, headphones. What is happening? I did get out. And then you know what I saw?
What?
Nada. Just kidding. Not nada. I saw too many doe with their fawn, and I don't have the heart to do that when they're still with their fawn. And... bunch of bucks way off in the distance, but nothing came out by me. So I got kind of upset with myself. So I went out duck hunting and I checked off another duck on my bucket list.
What'd
you get? 41 old squaw.
You shot an old squaw?
Yes.
Did you go out on the bay? Were you out on Green Bay? In layout boats?
Yep. We were in the layout boats. We were in a double one. And the first day, well, not 2 days. So the first day we went out, it was terrifying. You would have absolutely hated this.
Did you go with Mike Keller?
I did go. I will only go with Mike Keller,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so you went out with Mike Keller. Mike's asked me to go so many times, yes. And I always say I'm not going to go because I'm scared to death. And then you go out there with Mike Keller and tell me it scared the crap out of you.
But
can I
see,
say, Anya, can I say crap? Okay, just checking.
Okay, but we went out because I really wanted to go out for Old Squaw. It was on my 41 duck list.
Yeah, for sure. They're beautiful.
And when we get out there, it's... 4 o'clock in the morning, correct?
Sure.
And the wind is going about 15 to 20, and you're looking out on the water, it's just nothing but waves upon waves upon waves. So as Keller describes it, it's 5 foot waves with 2 foot separate, or it's 5 foot swells with 2 foot separation.
Okay.
So the waves, the waves are going up, and then you see nothing but sky, and then you go back down, and it's only like 2 foot separation. So once you're down, you're going right back up. And this layup boat, for people that do not know, this layup boat, you're a foot above water. Like, your bottom half of your body is inside this layup boat, which is under the surface.
Okay.
So, and then you are still up there, And he has a little bit of water splashing in. There's still a splash guard. But it was absolutely freezing. By the end of this hunt, so we get out there. I sit in the boat at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I do not get out until about 11, noon o'clock. And my hat is completely frozen solid. The back of me is completely frozen solid. Everything is just straight ice. I kept shooting waves because I go up, and these old squaw, they're faster than teal. And but they're bigger. They're bigger than a mallard, but they're faster than a teal. So they just zoom, 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 zoom. And I shot two boxes of shells. There's 25 shells.
I think I would do this.
And I shot three. Oh, five, really, and I didn't recover two of them because once these birds are one of the hardest birds to actually for the animal to penetrate the skin. So you shoot them once, and once they start going down, you shoot them again, then you shoot them again, then you shoot them again.
Well, and you're moving while they're flying.
Yes.
So you have to time everything exactly.
Yeah,
perfectly.
And you're going up and down these. Oh my gosh, I missed so many. And so many.
Well, we got Maggie Dawn on with us right now.
Maggie should come with us.
Maggie, well, you can take her on that hunt. I don't have enough guts to go on that.
The next
kind of
day
hunt.
Was
that
calm, scares, and it was like your Sunday.
Scares the heck out of me. And Maggie, welcome to the show. I have to tell you, this is so cool because Anastasia Esther, Anya, she produces both the Maggie Dawn Show and she produces Raised in Wisco. So she gets the full range of gamut of world affairs, outdoors, hunting, cooking. And Anya comes in one of the breaks of Maggie's show and like unloads on us this massive news.
Such
because
great news.
Danielle and I are always kind of trying to nudge her into the outdoor activities. And she basically says, I have 10 pounds of venison in my freezer, and then walks out. So,
oh, I love it.
Yeah, so Maggie, one of the things we talk about on this show, and one of the things that I absolutely love about the outdoors of Wisconsin, you know, I listen to your show and you cover so many fantastic current events. And, you know, our philosophies, yours, mine, Danielle's, our philosophies may not always match up. There's no secret about that, right? But the beauty of it is that I think the outdoors is where every philosophy, right, left, center, right, center, left, and everywhere in between has this opportunity to coalesce. And I think we're really finally seeing that. And that's one of the exciting things for me. Most of my closer friends are probably skew more left of the spectrum than I do, personally. But when I was even in the legislature, I had very close Democrat friends. So I don't ever try to imagine, you know, where that person's background is as to why they believe what they do. But finding commonalities is so fantastic. And that's one of the things that I think is great about the show Raised in Wisco. And when we get to have you on, thank you, first of all, for having us on your show. And thanks for being on our show.
Yes, thank you.
And don't you think that that's an area we can all get along?
Well, I think that's one of the things that kept Wisconsin so, like, strictly purple, right? And maybe still does to a certain extent. It was like, oh, yeah, we'll argue about this stuff. But, like, hey, everybody loves to be outside. It's part of what makes us Wisconsinites. Like, we love finding that hidden gem supper club when we're up camping.
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's nothing better than the first meal that someone else hustles for me after I've been like backpacking or hiking or camping for a long time. It's like, oh, I didn't know other people could make hot food. Thank you. That's so nice.
Oh yeah.
And I do think that this is a place of commonality for Wisconsinites for sure.
Oh yeah. When going out to camp. So camping is more or less deer camps. So when you go out to deer camp, only thing you do is just you go out there for hunting in the morning and you come back for lunch and then you go back out for dinner. But by that time it is dark early. So you get there and there's a hot meal ready for you. Everybody is just talking about what happened in the woods, what they saw, what they did. Like to me, when you guys keep talking about crossing left and right, it goes right over my head. Cause I don't think I've ever talked about any of that out in the field. Which is kind of great. So that's exactly what you mean. Like we're all the same. For me, that's what it is. Everybody's the same because I love being outdoors.
Well,
I love the Merlin Bird app and talking about birds with other people. Like that's the greatest thing ever.
I'm gonna check out the Merlin Bird app. I've got a whole bunch of birder friends, and like it's so cool to me. Like urban birds. Different than like what you see in marshfield areas is different than what you see in different wooded areas, boundary water stuff, Apostle Islands, like it's all a little bit different. And we have such a diverse amount of fauna in Wisconsin that you can, and it's so drivable and accessible. You can go check it out, but I'm going to tell everybody I know about Shazam for Birds.
Shazam for Birds. For everyone that does not know, on the show previous, Maggie, Joel, and I are talking about the Merlin Bird app because for some reason I'm getting into bird watching and I do not know when this happened. I bought my first bird book, but Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N, you just hit Sound ID once you download the app and then it saves all the recording and it gives you all the information about birds. And I don't know how I turned this into a bird watching segment. I am so sorry, but
that's
I'm very
great.
Excited.
It's perfect.
Like it even records the ducks. So I'd be like, oh, okay. So I heard this new duck. Oh, like when we go out to Winnebago or wherever, because they have the divers right now. When you go out to Winnebago, you can hear a duck quack. And you're like, oh, well, what was that one? And then it just tells you exactly what bird it was and how, not necessarily how to shoot it, but like where it's originating from.
That would be a controversial app, I think.
That would be a
like.
Very controversial
yeah,
app.
Yeah, especially yes, if you were harvesting the wrong species. But I think that is something in common that all Wisconsinites share. And I love the fact we talked about hunting too. And Maggie, I'm curious, what are your culinary favorites? If we had to talk about food, because I tell people after all, this is a cooking show.
Are you talking game or like anything?
Anything, but including game. Are you a wild game eater? Is that part of your repertoire?
Oh, yeah.
Or what are some of the food, the culinary aspects of the state that you like the best?
So I love duck and pheasant. Now, ooh, pheasant, I've eaten from Wisconsin. I don't know that I've eaten a duck from the state of Wisconsin. I've sat in a duck blind for long enough to have, like, wrinkly fingers and very, 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 very cold. And I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Layers, girl, layers.
But now you don't have to be cold. You can have that little Mr. Buddy heater in front of you in the
sure
duck blind.
Sure can. So. I had it in the boat.
I don't know if you guys saw me. I was legit taking notes, like not even going to front, take notes, because anything that makes it more enjoyable, I am a fan of, or easier, I'm a fan of. One of my favorite pieces of just sort of Wisconsin culinary experience is taking out-of-towners who have never been here before, especially like left and right coast people, and introducing them to the supper club.
Oh,
I'm
that's
like,
the greatest.
Yo, it's Tuesday. Do you want prime rib? That will be beautiful here.
That is the greatest.
On a Tuesday.
Yes, we had
going up on a Tuesday.
I love prime rib. We had the Fowl Life crew in town for a week, and we went to Bark River Lanes in Rome, Wisconsin. Now they have a chef there who's just off the chain. He's unbelievable. We had the most unbelievable. We had duck risotto. They had as the special that night, which was phenomenal. And I think supper clubs are absolutely where it is at, I'm telling you. And before we get to our first break, which we're already up against, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for having us on your show.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. And I hope that this is a start of things to come and we can do this in the future.
Anytime, friends. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we've got Zach Fusilier from Texas. I spent Thanksgiving over the Thanksgiving break in Texas with a guy who hunts the world, and he's fascinating, and his son. And we talked to them for the next couple of segments. You won't want to miss it because you should get out of your shell and get to these great United States. So listen to that coming up on Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman here in the Fishbowl in Waukesha. 540 AM WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw, and throughout Wisconsin on your Civic Media radio station. We are really excited about the guest we have today. One of the things I've talked to you guys about a lot is how traveling the United States just is an unending quest for the outdoors. Hunting, fishing, hiking, kayaking, mountain climbing, whatever your jam is, you can get out there and do it in the great United States. And I have to tell you, if it were not for a buddy of mine, Jerry Valdez. He does government affairs in Texas, like I do up here. You know, I work with the disabled folks and wheelchairs and the outdoor groups like Whitetails of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Game Preserve Association, and Safari Club International. And that expands your network. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not afraid to expand your network, you can get out there and you can have experiences like no other. Well, my buddy Jerry out in Texas, who does government affairs for the Texas state legislature, and I have been friends now for several years. He's one of the reasons my daughter Ella Rose ended up at Baylor, and now maybe my other daughter Violet will end up at Baylor. But he introduced us to a guy, Zach Fusilier, who is just a world traveler for hunting and has made hunting not only part of his life, but part of his income in ranching and hunting in the area just kind of southwest a bit from Dallas. I'm sitting here with Zach right now in his home in Texas. And Zach, I have to tell you, I have never seen in my life some would call it a man room, you call it the party barn, that has such a representation of your life experiences. How did you ever get into hunting? And what ever made you desire putting together something like this room and having hunting and the experiences and the species in your life be so important to your life?
Let's see. So I would say that I kind of stumbled into hunting, dumb luck, with some entertainment through my business, civil construction. Concrete, pipe, you know, exterior projects. And a salesman for a pipe company that we buy pipe from had purchased, you know, one of those auction hunts for a couple exotics at the Wyo Ranch, which is a famous ranch in Texas I'd never been. He took my wife and myself and his wife, and we went down to the Wyo Ranch. No expectations. I didn't even have a gun. I borrowed their gun.
And, how old were you at this time?
Probably 30.
See, I want to make a point. I did not hunt until I was 38 years old.
Same. I had hunted. My grandmother had a ranch in Abilene, which is West Texas, kind of a couple hours west of Dallas, 3 hours west. And I had done some modest whitetail hunting, you know, just a couple does. So I probably had harvested 4 or 5 animals my whole life. And then I went on this trip, and chef, awesome food, awesome accommodations, stuff, you know, I was the guy who didn't know the names of anything that we were seeing run around. Ended up shooting two exotics, and then just became hooked in.
What do you say to somebody? I mean, we hunted yesterday with your son, and we hunted black buck, and your son was literally the guy who spotted the black buck. I mean, they're tiny animals. He spotted it about 400, 500 yards away, tucking out from an alcove of trees. What do you say to somebody who doesn't have that experience? I mean, your son is, Lachlan's growing up in it, in the culture, with the understanding that you take what you kill and you put it on the table, like we did last night. What do you say to somebody who's like us? I didn't first hunt till I was 38 years old, and then it was a steep learning curve, but man, I got into it. And you didn't start till you're 30. Now, you're a younger man than me. You're 40 years old. So you started 43. You started when you were you know, a little older in life, didn't have someone dragging you through it when you were a kid. What do you say to somebody who's kind of apprehensive about it because they haven't started yet?
I mean, I would encourage them to get out there. I mean, I started with the, which is kind of how I think everyone should start, the corporate deer lease, you know, 6-8 guys on 1,000 acres with homemade deer blinds, janky feeders. You know, you go out there and fill them up. That's half the fun. You go out there and do the food, the campfire. That's half the fun. And, you know, sit there all day in the freezing cold and see nothing for a week. And I believe everybody should start that way. And, then, that's a little tougher road. You got to really love it. But I feel like when you get your first, when you get that first animal or the first big buck walks out, or you check a game cam and then you make a plan and you stick with it, it's all rewarding. That kind of sense of accomplishment's never changed as I hunted harder and bigger stuff. You kind of sit there and freezing cold, bored, or put in the work and scout, and then you get rewarded, or you don't, and that keeps you hungry, and you're always wanting to bigger, better, or another animal. Or I mean, I've been blessed, like you said, the network earlier when you were opening. So one of my best friends, Dr. Eric Weezer, who owns the property you hunted on last night next to my house, lake house, I met him through hunting. He ended up moving a mile away from me, ended up, his three kids are the same age as my three kids. He's in a completely different industry, but we hit it off hunting-wise. Now he's one of my best friends, and like you saw last night in COVID, we literally just drove around his ranch. You know, we have a couple of ranches between us at our disposal, but we would come up here and just drive around with our kids during COVID every weekend. Everything was on lockdown. So I have a 6-year-old PH now that's can identify game better than most adults. And, he's got the bug.
He has also, the bug.
He's also off the couch, out of the city, off the screen. You know, he knows how to drive safely operate, you know, Polaris Ranger, Can-Am.
You just hit on three of the main points that I want to talk about. Number one, it's getting kids out into the outdoors. Life happens in three dimensions. It does not happen in their two-dimensional 3x7 cell phone. And right now we're stuck in this rut across the country. And I think the only good thing to come out of COVID was that people started using the outdoors a little more.
100%.
And to watch, you know, your son Lachlan get out there with us, I mean, he's as excited as we are. He's as excited for somebody else to take a shot. He's just happy to be there. And I think too often people put the pressure on themselves that I don't know about hunting, so I'm not going to be good at it, so I'm not going to try it. But I think one of the things you talked about, one of the other points I was talking about, is that you tell, you know, you make it clear, not every hunt's a success. And sometimes the time you spend out there builds your fortitude to do that next hunt. I'm looking around a room right now, and folks, we're going to put some of these photos on the website so you can check them out on the Civic Media website. You're not even going to believe, you know, some of the different species that Zach has been able to, you know, travel the world and hunt.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The fighting has resumed between Israel and Hamas, but White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says aid is still coming.
While the pause has been lifted and no hostage exchanges are going on, what is still going on, importantly, is humanitarian assistance getting in, including fuel.
Admiral Kirby spoke on CBS. In Queens, New York, a man has killed four of his family members before he was shot to death by police. Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry spoke to reporters.
As they get to the driveway, they see a male walking out. He's carrying luggage. Our officers asked the male a question or two. An encounter that lasted about 10 seconds where the male draws a knife on our officers.
At the COP28 climate summit in Dubai, the head of the World Resources Institute says an immediate plan is needed to combat climate change.
It has to happen. This COP has to deliver for the world a real outcome that gives us trust to the system.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook.
Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks pulled ahead late in the fourth quarter to beat the Atlanta Hawks 132-121. It was the 148th consecutive sold-out game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks campaign with a season-high 18 points.
Man, it feel good, man. It feel good to get my game going in front of these fans.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Really want to give a shout-out to our bench. You know, Bobby came in with a double-double. Cam, season-high 18 points. He was tremendous. I think Bobby in the first half and Cam in the second half, those guys were, you know, terrific.
College hoops, Wisconsin with an upset win over Marquette. Matt LePay with the call.
Point four on the clock. Send it to the backcourt. Kolick picks it up, and the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison.
The final, Wisconsin 75, Marquette 64. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 37, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy again tonight, 27. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
The journey to a smoke-free life can be difficult. Kick the habit with the help of Vape Walkie. Vape Walkie isn't just a vape shop. They're a community, and their knowledgeable staff can assist you in finding the perfect products to suit your needs. With a wide variety of vaping products at the best prices, they cater to everyone from novices to cloud enthusiasts. Mention this ad and join the rewards program to receive 100 free points when you sign up.
Vape Walkie, 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee.
Call 262-696-6620 or log on to vapewalkie.com to find more.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I've hunted a little longer, but that's about the same amount I've hunted. And people say, how are you so into it at this point? Now, I quit drinking when I started hunting, so I traded drugs, I traded addictions. Mm-hmm. But I think for anybody out there who wants to have an interest, you can start small, can't you? Sure. And build it into something that becomes a real essential part of your life and the way you eat.
Right. I mean, there's so many places to go with what you just said. I mean, you can start the public land, in-state drawing tags. That's a tough road, but it can be done. And then you can, a lot of people inherit land. You can meet friends with land. I mean, I think hunting's been a motivational point for me, business-wise, making money, just because some of these trips are on the pricey end. So I think it teaches you to stay motivated. I think it teaches you hard work pays off. I mean, if your hobby is hunting, some people are golfers, some people are fishermen, some people are hunters, some people are exotic cars, some people are travel. Whatever motivates you, for me, I've been able to stay focused at work, you know, just wanting to pay for my, not addiction, but I would say a healthy addiction. I mean, it's a hobby. You're passionate about it.
It's an addiction for me.
Obviously, being a hunter is, if you are going to be addicted to something, it's certainly better than other things that are out there. But it's for me, it's quality time with my wife and my kids. They like it. It gets them outside. I mean, it's been a positive thing in my life ever since I started. Whether it's one, you know, a client or a vendor that wants to entertain me, or me reciprocating that to clients. I mean, I've rolled it into my business strategy for entertainment. You know, you have to foster your relationships. And for me, I'd rather take a guy on a hunt and get 3 days quality time, one-on-one or a group campfire, over a golf trip, not knocking golf, but.
Oh, I'll knock golf. I can't stand it. I do not understand chasing a little white ball through the woods. Same, that does not make sense.
So for me, I've been able to profit off it, foster my relationships. It's also my hobby. And so that's when I built this party barn room. I had that in mind. Actually, some neighbors up here at the lake had a metal building that was a shop, and they turned it into a bunkhouse, what they call it. And it's I went over there probably 5 years ago, and it was 20, 30 people hanging out midnight on a Saturday night in the woods up here at the lake, and such a good time. And so they kind of planted the idea. And then when I built this lake house, I was struggling for space for some of my mounts and had some storage units in my garage, and just it was stacking up. And so that's how I kind of birthed the idea of I'm going to build a structure next to my house. I'm going to put all my mounts in one place, trophy room, and I'm going to use it to close deals at work. I'm going to use it for friends and family, my wife's birthday
you
party.
You use
next
it for
week.
Joy.
This is my happy place. I could just sit in here by myself, and I haven't given up drinking yet, but
don't have to.
I would. I probably should, but I
you don't.
But
have
I could sit in here and.
In Wisconsin, that wouldn't be an option to have some beers, I'll tell you.
Right.
One of the things we talked about even last night, we hunt this black buck last night, right? We get the black buck. I'm not even kidding you. First of all, you were telling me about the organic nature. I mean, they're out there eating organic grasses, organic grains, and you're going to eat. We put this on the table. You know, I talk about the fact that this show is actually a cooking show at the end of the day. And what I did, I took that black buck. Now we're here right after Thanksgiving. So I'm thinking to myself, what are some things in Thanksgiving meals that make good, make a good dinner? And I've thought of rouladen, which is a German dish where it's got a pickle and German stuffing inside, and then it's sauteed or roasted, and then you put a gravy on top. Well, we had leftover gravy, we had leftover stuffing, and everybody who's got a decent sense of culinary arts has got pickles, right? So we took that black buck and pounded it out into flat pieces, as flat tenderized pieces as we could. We rolled a pickle. We rolled some leftover stuffing in it. And then we sauteed it in olive oil and covered it with leftover gravy and essentially had black buck rouladen last night, which was, in my opinion, kind of off the charts. Delicious, quick, and easy. You're going to be able to see that recipe on the Provider Life Instagram. So check that out. It turned out absolutely awesome. I mean, what did you think of that? We literally were eating black buck rouladen within 2 hours of that, you know, of harvesting that black buck in the field.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was, I was excited for you guys to come hunt here. I also have known Jerry for a while and has opened some doors for me. So to host you guys and, you know, have a successful hunt. And then, you know, we did clean it ourselves, so we can claim that. You know, we skinned it and quartered it up.
Well, I kind of assisted a little bit, and you didn't think you were that great at it, but by the end of the day, we had that sucker done in less than an hour and caped out.
It was pretty quick, and so it was fun to, you know, those back straps never hit the fridge, never hit the freezer, and to use leftovers in the fridge from the day before my wife's family was pretty cool, and then and it tasted good. So I thought it was fun, and it was special that my wife and kids got to see it, and my wife's family was, you know, muting the TV while we record, and they were able to see that you don't need a test kitchen in New York City to put together a hunting show. So I thought it was very fun, and it's it wasn't gamey. I mean, it was
delicious. Mean.
But that's what you get out here with Eric. I call him Doc. You know, it's year-round protein. Plenty of green, and it's so yeah. I mean, I was impressed that you whipped that up that quick, and I would definitely be trying that again.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we're out here at we hunted Jerry Valdez and I hunted Squaw Mountain Ranch in Jacksboro, Texas. And for anybody out there who's looking for something, let's say you've never hunted before, I brought my wife, Rebecca, and my daughters, Ella Rose and Violet, with me. And they were kind of leery because I'm thinking, you know, they're thinking hunting camp. That's not really their thing. It is so beautiful, and it is so kind of foothill mountains with ponds and rivers and the species of animals you're going to see. If you want or are looking for kind of that first hunting experience or that extremely experienced hunting experience, we hunted Awdad, never got one, never saw one that we were able to pursue that was, you know, of higher quality that we were looking for. And that's okay. Bring your family. I mean, check it out. Check out Squaw Mountain Ranch. If you get the opportunity and you get to meet Zach, you're going to have such a blast. My wife and kids came out. Jerry Valdez brought his daughter Mia along and his wife Heather, and we had the time of our lives on Thanksgiving Day checking out the animals. It's been beautiful weather. I would highly recommend, if you are leery or have never tried hunting before, this is an environment where you can go and have everything kind of helped and taken care of for you. It was just phenomenal. I can't express. You guys know how excited I get when I get out there and I get to hunt and harvest something. And last night, you know, this black buck started out 700 yards away, was making his way closer and closer and closer, and I did